you can flip a coin to decide if it's going to be wet or not. So if you are out there, you know, just make sure. I'll just throw out this one little tip because it's just my mind is filled with useless trivia. And that is, if it is raining out there, don't use your cruise control, because the cruise control, if it hits a puddle, that can cause you some problems. I've experienced that in the past. Don't want you to experience that, and pray that you have a safe journey on the roadways of Brevard County in the sunshine or in the rain. So we want to take this opportunity to invite you out to our services this Sunday. This is July the 4th weekend, so some of y'all may be bugging out on tomorrow's program. You can listen to that on the on-demand feature when after it broadcasts. You can also listen live through the WMIEFM.com website on the live stream. It's there's a little bit of a delay in there. But anyway, hope you have a safe weekend, that you stay safe on the roads. And we are going to be worshiping in church on Sunday. We don't have Sunday night service, but we do have a potluck dinner afterwards. Can throw up our hands and praise the Lord. You know, our fifth Sunday potluck dinners have been missing for a while, and I decided that we would actually have two in the month of July. One of those will be this Sunday for the July 4th weekend. The second one will be at the end of the month on July the 31st. So love to have you come and be a part of what we are doing. So we're going to go back to John chapter 7 today. John chapter 7. Everybody pucker up and kiss June goodbye, because July the 1st kicks in tomorrow. And that means that we've got only half a year left. And so we want to press forward. We want to make sure that we finish out the last half of the year strong. And we want to do our best. We don't only want to start well, we want to finish well. We want to run in the middle well. And that's the reality. I'm kind of intrigued with some Facebook videos that I see from time to time. And one of them was a analysis of a distance relay race. And I couldn't tell you the distance. All I know is the last four, it was people ran. I don't know how many were on each team, but the last group, it was an 800 meter race, and for some reason they decided that they were going to take the laps very, very slowly. Nobody wanted to lead, and everybody wanted to kind of be running from a second place. But they ran them so slowly that when the person did kick in and took over the lead, that everybody still had so much energy that nobody could catch him. And so I don't want the enemy taking advantage of any slowness that we've got in our pace of ministry or pace in loving Brevard County into the kingdom of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's start well, let's run well, let's finish well for the glory of God. John chapter 7, verse number 25, it says, "Now some of them from Jerusalem said, 'Is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from.' Then Christ cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, 'You both know me and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him and he sent me.'" That's where we're going to end today. So, you know, we've already talked in earlier programs that Jesus said, "Y'all are trying to kill me because I healed one guy." And they said, "You're out of your mind. No one's trying to kill you." And yet the crowd knew better. And so in verse number 25, they said, "Isn't this the guy that they're trying to kill?" But look, okay, when people are threatening you, when the enemy is trying to intimidate you, there are people who will be watching to see how we as believers respond. One of the most fascinating seasons in my stint here at Merit Assembly of God, which has been about 29 and a half years now, was when there were thousands of job losses out at the Space Center where they were, you know, transitioning from the shuttle to the Constellation program to no program to multiple space program. You know, during that transition, there were a lot of job losses. There were a lot of people who relocated, who moved out of the area. They took their families with them. Schools were in jeopardy and closed and things like that. And I remember during that season at our annual business meeting that kind of a spirit of faith came over me and said, this is not the time to shrink back. It's the time to press forward. And you would think when the population base is shrinking and there's this huge transition going, that it would be a time to say, okay, let's reevaluate. But instead, we just accelerated, and we actually grew during that season. We grew numerically. We grew financially. And then kids graduated and moved off, and we are still doing phenomenally, but haven't quite reached those numbers again on a consistent basis. So how did Jesus respond? They responded by saying this: look, he speaks boldly and they say nothing to him. They speak boldly. That means he spoke with openness. He spoke frankly. He spoke with confidence. And people noticed his reaction. The natural tendency that we have as human beings is whenever confrontation comes, we kind of shrink back just a little bit. I've heard a lot of people say if you encounter an animal out in the wild, they're more scared of you than you are of them. Well, that might be, but it's a pretty high threshold depending on what type of snake it is or anything like that. But so whenever you're faced with this confrontation, you kind of, hold your tongue just a little bit. Not Jesus. He spoke openly. He said, here's where I am. And in fact, when he was on trial, after they arrested him and getting ready to send him to the cross, he said, I spoke daily with you in the temple and you never came and arrested me there. You wait until I'm in Gethsemane in the middle of the night and you come and arrest me in the secret of night. Why didn't you arrest me in those other occasions? He spoke with openness. He spoke the truth, and he spoke with confidence. That's because the threats of the enemy are no threat to the truth of God's word. And they not only noticed what Jesus' response to the intimidation was, but they also noticed what the response was of the intimidators once Jesus responded to them by speaking boldly. And that was, they say nothing to him. They say nothing to him. Whenever I hear that, I am reminded of Colonel Klink and Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. And that's a comedy from, I think, the World War II era. But it was done more like in the 60s or 70s, somewhere in there. But Sergeant Schultz would say, I hear nothing, I see nothing, I know nothing. And that's what these people kind of did. They had nothing to say. You see, the truth is the truth. People will try and silence you from putting the truth out there, but the truth stands on its own merits. The truth is undeniable. And so I love people who you can see something with your very own eyes, and then you can hear them or confront a person on something, and they say, well, that just never happened. It just never happened. It did happen. We sat there and we saw it. And you can hear people with the truth, and all of a sudden they say, I didn't say that. And said, you did. We have it right here. These people did not have anything to say. And so now the crowd is looking, and they've got another question. What do the rulers know? Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? So when they see that the spiritual leadership is not shutting Jesus' ministry down, where they are helpless to challenge the things that he is saying, that every time they try and trap him, they end up entrapped themselves. When they see that there is no response, they begin to wonder, I wonder if they've concluded that this is the Christ. Okay, now here's the thing that I want to tell you. Sometimes people are experts in their own mind without being experts at all. You know, when I was growing up, there was a saying that went around that someone was a legend in their own mind. And so the people are looking and saying, the religious leadership must have concluded that this person is the Christ. And in actuality, the religious leadership was so busy fighting the truth that Jesus was sharing that they weren't even open-minded enough to consider whether he was. So they said, do they know the spiritual truth that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God? So that caused me to ask a question. And that is the question is this: what keeps people from believing spiritual truth? What keeps people from believing spiritual truth? Before I answer that question, I want to throw out this challenge to you, and that is this: don't let the truth you think you know keep you from learning the truth that God wants you to know. Okay? Don't let the truth you think you know deprive you of learning the truth that God wants you to know. So that's very, very important. So in your situation, what keeps you from believing the truth? Well, in 2022, some of the things that keep people from believing the truth is, first of all, they've never heard it. If they've never heard it, then they don't have the opportunity, and that's why the Great Commission is so important to us, that we go into all the world and preach the gospel. So it's not just us waiting for them to come to us. We have to go to them. And sometimes that means that we as believers have to step outside of our comfort zone and bring the truth to people in a manner that we may not be all that comfortable with. So not ever hearing spiritual truth will deprive people of believing spiritual truth. The other thing that I'd like to share with you here is that in 2022, personal lifestyle keeps people from believing the truth. What I mean by that is I know a number of people who have read the Bible, they know the Bible, and they've lived the Bible, but all of a sudden, family members began to live out a different lifestyle than what is approved in the Word of God. Sometimes those differences are major. Sometimes those differences are, you know, not as major. They're a little more superficial. Sometimes it is done in secret. Sometimes it is done in the openness. And whenever there's that personal lifestyle challenge, what the tendency that I've seen is that people will set aside spiritual truth that they have believed because of either their personal lifestyle or the personal lifestyle of a loved one. And they say, I've got to modify my spiritual truth, because if I don't, then this person is actually very vulnerable to an eternity without Christ. And I can't go there. I can't think that. And so they change their theology to match their lifestyle rather than changing their lifestyle to fit the Word of God. If you're ever in one of those conflicts between lifestyle and spiritual truth, please choose spiritual truth and modify your lifestyle accordingly. Repent of your sin and say, God, help me by your Spirit to live the life that you want me to live. Another preventative measure that keeps people from believing the spiritual truth is theological confusion. So the Roe v. Wade decision, you know, came down almost a week ago. It came down on Friday, I think. And so there was all of this uproar and rioting and things of that nature. And I watched to see what the response was going to be. And so earlier this week, I was surprised. I've read the Old Testament hundreds of times. I've read the New Testament thousands of times. And I was surprised to find articles that were trying to persuade me that the Bible said things that I've never read in the Bible. I've read it a lot. I'm not saying that I know it like the back of my hand, but I know it pretty well. And they were trying to tell me that my position of being, you know, pro-life wasn't my position at all. They said that I had misinterpreted the Word of God in order to embrace that Jesus is Lord from the womb to the tomb. I read multiple articles, and I didn't read it to make fun. I read them to try and learn what they were even talking about. And here's what one of the things that I noticed was that they never offered an example. The articles that I read stated their belief system that never gave any examples. And so I was like, okay, y'all are playing loosey-goosey with the Word of God here, and that's not going to cut it for me. Theological confusion will keep people, you know, Jesus encountered the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and he finally had to tell her, look, y'all don't know where you come from, but we do know where we come from. We know what we worship. And he confronted her spiritual confusion. She had some truth, some error, and he brought clarity and revival to a community. So don't, you know, much like I said with the lifestyle factor, if there is a contrast between your belief system and the Word of God, don't change the Word of God to what you believe. Change what you believe to fit the Word of God. Okay? And so don't let theological confusion deprive you from embracing spiritual truth. The next one, is suffering. Suffering, look, we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. There's people that perish. There's people who get sick. There are people who are in agony. There are people around the world who are in poverty. And nobody likes to see suffering. I know one particular minister that when he tried to make sense out of suffering, he ended up departing the faith entirely, lost his ministry because he started trying to adapt his theology so that so that suffering wasn't going to be part of the equation. It ended up being disastrous. The situation that he was looking at, and this goes back quite a few decades, was he looked at pictures that he was seeing on the news of people who were starving in a third world country. And he said, how could a righteous God allow such starvation going on in a third world country? Well, here was the one thing that he failed to consider, and that was this, that there was a war that was going on in that region, and the people who were trying to bring an enslaving mindset, an enslaving government to that region, one of their tactics was if you did not embrace what they wanted you to believe, then they would destroy all your crops. Historically, food has been a weapon. If somebody came in and wanted to destroy, whenever you see the word in the Bible that they laid siege to a city, that means they cut off the routes going in and they cut off the routes going out. They cut off the water and they would cut off the food. They'd cut off the plumbing if they could. They didn't have electricity, so they didn't have to cut that off. But a lot of times that suffering is because of the work of the enemy, not because of negligence on the part of God. Got a friend, he wrote a book on suffering, and I will just tell you this: suffering is nowhere to be found in heaven, but suffering is manifest all the time throughout every square inch, every cubic inch of hell. So if you think that rejecting Christianity is going to appease your mind when it comes to suffering, please understand that's a deceptive tool of the enemy, that he's not looking to alleviate your suffering. He's looking to magnify your suffering. A guy at church this last Sunday, he was telling me about having read a Fox's Book of Martyrs, which if you haven't read, at least the abridged version, go and read that. It'll be inspirational to you. There were two guys that were sentenced to be burned at the stake in sequential days. One of them was going to be burned on one day. One of them was going to be burned on the other. And the guy on the second day said, could you do me a favor? That's interesting. You're getting ready to die a day before me. He said, when you're burning at the stake, if you could just let me know by raising your hand that the grace of God is sufficient even during your most horrific suffering, if you'd just let me know by raising your hand, I'll know that God's grace is sufficient. And the next day, the guy was burning at the stake, and he just raised his hand. And so I want to encourage you, don't reject spiritual truth because of suffering. Press into Jesus and find out that God's grace is sufficient even in the most miserable times of human existence. So, one more thing here, and that is this. People make excuses just so they don't have to believe in spiritual truth. People make excuses just so they don't have to believe in spiritual truth. And I can't help them with excuses. People said, if you'll just give us a sign, Jesus said, you've already got all the signs you're getting. In the story of the rich man that went to hell, if you'll just send somebody back from the dead, somebody back from the dead would convince them. And they said, Abraham said, they have the law and the prophets, and if they won't believe them, they won't believe even if someone comes back from the dead. And guess what? Jesus did come back from the dead. they still don't believe. It is not for lack of evidence that people do not believe in Jesus. It's simply because we make excuses. We make excuses. So there's a person that I know, we were having a conversation, this goes back a few years, having a conversation, and whenever I would begin to encourage him to get in church and encourage him to become more grounded in his faith, he would ask this theological question. And, you know, this had happened a couple of three times, and the truth finally hit me. He wasn't asking that question because he wanted the answer. He was asking that question because he was using that as his excuse. And so my statement is this: is that one thing really the thing that is holding you up in your faith? I don't think it is. Look, we need more people who say, you know what, I'm not making excuses. I'm not going to allow confusion to guide, blind me from the truth. I'm not going to allow my lifestyle to blind me from the truth of God's word. I'm going to press in. I'm going to discover all the truth that God's word has for me to know. Jesus could speak boldly. I can speak boldly because he's living inside of me. I don't have to function in weakness. I can function in the supernatural strength that he provides. Even during adversity, even when there are adversaries that are challenging, we can still be bold. Look, in 2022, if you're looking to play both ends against the middle, if you're trying to straddle the fence, I want to encourage you, get off the fence, get into a righteous lifestyle with God, and go out and boldly proclaim that Jesus lives, Jesus loves, and Jesus saves, and he's coming again. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
This God. who pardons all our sin, so ready to forgive, you delight to show your mercy.